Turn with me to our scripture reading this morning. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And in your pew Bible, that's page 1128. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, April. Well, welcome to the fourth Sunday of Advent. In other words, this is our last Sunday before we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior on Wednesday. So we have just a few more days to prepare. I want to begin this morning's message by asking you kind of one question two different ways. The question is this: what do we do when we feel our world is falling apart? Or maybe ask it this way: where do we go when it seems as if darkness is our only companion and God is nowhere to be found? Friends, dark times of our lives are threshold moments. They are Advent moments. Let me tell you a story about a superintendent of a large Christian school. And he became very concerned about the disarray that he found in almost every classroom he went into. He said that papers were often thrown on the floor, students' desks were surrounded by clutter. And this superintendent felt very strongly that learning could not take place in such an untidy environment. So he decided to take action. And he was going to use one classroom as an experiment. And this is what he did. Knocked on the door, he introduced himself to the students, and he gave them this proposition. This was the proposition. He said this: your teacher, the principal, and I have provided a well-equipped classroom for you to enjoy. But we need your help in keeping your desks and classroom orderly. Many of you have crumpled papers inside your desks, and you have pens and pencils all over the floor around your desk. This is what I'd like. I would like each of you to clean out your desk today and begin the school year resolving to keep it clean. He said, then one day I will return, and I will inspect your desks, and the student with the best desk, I will give a $100 bill. I won't tell you what day I'm coming back. It will be a complete surprise. Not even the principal or your teacher will know the day or the hour. Well, and children all yelled with excitement, and they began immediately pulling things from their desk and filling up waste paper baskets with crumbled papers, stacking their books neatly inside their desk, and lining up all the pens and pencils. They did this every morning for the first week. Every student checked their desk to make sure it was in perfect condition, confident that today would be the day the superintendent returned. Well, after about a week, a few of the boys in the class grew weary of this exercise, and they returned to their old ways. Yes, I did say boys. I'm getting reactions over there like, boys, you're going to say boys? Yeah, that's probably more real life than saying girls, you know. However, by the third week, several students started to remark saying this: I doubt he'll ever come back. He just said this so we would keep our desk clean. And then after 2 months, nobody in the classroom bothered to inspect their desks. And in fact, most of them forgot about the superintendent's promise. That is except for one girl. Obediently, she inspected her desk every morning, making sure things were in proper order. And for months, she was teased by the other students, saying things like this to her. "He's not coming back. Why do you keep looking for him? You're stupid believing in that promise anyway." Well, she remained quiet and kept her desk in perfect condition. And near the very end of the school year, there was a knock on the door. And in walked the superintendent. Every desk in the classroom flung open, and the students began to frantically clean their desks. And the superintendent held his hand up and said, "Stop. Everyone stand beside your desk for inspection." Well, one after another, he rejected their desks as being unkept. One boy tried to give him excuses to no avail. Another blamed the teacher because the teacher did not remind them. Another blamed the superintendent for making them so long to wait. Finally, the superintendent arrived at the desk of the little girl, who confidently displayed her well-kept desk. After inspecting her desk, he took her by the hand to the front of the classroom and awarded her a $100 bill. Then he turned to the class and he said, "Boys and girls, this girl never stopped believing that I would return. So she kept her desk in perfect order. She didn't need to worry about what day I would come back or even what hour of the day I would arrive because she was always ready, always." How does that relate to us? We are called to be ready. We are called to be awake. We are called to be alert, for the Lord is coming. So continues our season of Advent, the last Sunday before Christmas. Friends, I want to remind you that Advent is just not some kind of liturgical season of the church year. It is a reality of all of our lives. It happens to us in all sorts of ways. It comes at various points in our life, not just 4 weeks before Christmas. Let me read the words of Jesus to his disciples from Mark 13. This is what he says. He says, "In those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." What was going on when Jesus said this? Let me tell you. The disciples were standing outside the temple, and they were admiring what they saw in the temple. They couldn't believe how it was built and the huge stones it took to build it. They were standing there very impressed with the temple. And then Jesus comes and says, "Change is coming. In fact, the very temple of your lives is going to be coming down." If you have ever experienced significant change in your life, whether it was desired or whether it was dreaded, then you know about Advent. You know what it's like to enter into the darkness of change. Because the truth is, all change, whether welcomed or unwanted, brings with it some kind of loss. Maybe the loss of a relationship, maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of what is comfortable, the loss of what is familiar, a loss of what is safe. But regardless of the loss, when we're in those Advent seasons, the world as we know it has changed. Now, the advents of our life set before us some important questions. What about this question? How will we find our way forward when the usual lights that illuminated our path no longer shine? How do you do that? Ask Nancy Pickett. Nancy, how do you find your way forward when the usual lights that illuminated your path are no longer there? I don't expect you to answer that question. But ask her, what do we feel as if, what do we do when we feel as if our world is falling apart? Where do we go when it seems as though darkness is our only companion and God is nowhere to be found? Friends, the dark times in life are threshold moments. The temptation in those times, our temptation is to do something. You say, yeah. Our temptation is to do something, to fix it, to ease the pain, to escape the uncertainty and go back to what used to be. You know what? The God of Advent doesn't allow that. No. We can never go back to the way things were before the lights went out. Mm-mm. God does not undo our life. God redeems our life. Advent is not so much about the losses as it is about the hope of the coming of what will be. And what's the hope that is coming? The Son of Man, Jesus the Christ. Listen to this next statement very carefully and remember it. The presence of Christ is the ultimate answer to every prayer, to every light extinguishing loss, to every advent of our life. Every time we experience an advent moment in our life, we echo the prophet Isaiah's scream to heaven. In Isaiah 64, he says, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." And God does. God is faithful. God will strengthen us to the end. Paul shared with the believers gathered in Corinth these words of comfort. He says, in the midst of our losses, did you get that first part right? In the midst of our losses, we lacked nothing as we await the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Advent times of life are times of waiting. Some of you can attest to that this morning. Nancy can attest to that for sure. They are in between times. Advent times are times of transition. In Advent, we live in between what was and what will be. We are neither here or there. If we allow them to, those dark threshold places of our life can draw us into the deep divine mystery. Those Advent places remind us that we do not know everything, that we do not see all the possibilities, that we are not in charge. Advent challenges us to give up our usual source of illumination, to let go of our habitual ways of knowing, and to answer our question, the typical ways of seeing things. Advent, in other words, invites us to receive God, the God who comes in the darkness of life. When these things happen, Jesus has advice for us. Jesus says, remember the fig tree. Read the signs correctly. When its branches become tender, it puts forth leaves, you know it's summer. So also, when darkness overtakes your life, know that the Son of Man is near. Christ's presence and the working out of our salvation are always taking place in the dark, in the messy parts of life. We have not and never will be abandoned to the darkness. Be alert. Be ready, Jesus warns. He commands us to keep awake. Why would he tell us to keep awake? Friends, that's simple, because darkness is not our enemy as much as is falling asleep. We fall asleep whenever fear controls our life. We fall asleep when hope gives way to despair. We fall asleep when busyness is equated with godliness. When entitlement replaces thanksgiving. When we choose what is comfortable rather than that which is life-giving. Too often we allow the darkness to deceive us into believing that there's nothing worth waiting or watching for, so we just close our eyes. We fall asleep, and we become part of the darkness. And we refuse to see the one who is always coming to us. The danger in the darkness is simply this, is that we do not give our eyes time to adjust. Now, night vision is not about the light around us. No. It's about the light that is within us, a light that can never be extinguished. Friends, be alert. Keep awake. You understand that you are the light of the world. Be diligent at the watch. And that is very contrary to what most of the world believes and what our society rewards. We must be awake at every moment of our lives, not just in spite of, but because of the darkness. To show up and be present in the darkness in life is some of the hardest work we will ever do. Excuse me. But if we run from the darkness, we run from God. In the darkness of Advent, we wait. We wait expectantly without specific expectations. Maybe you've heard this next statement. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Waiting in darkness is an act of faithfulness and surrender to our Lord, the one who is coming. Waiting becomes our prayer, a prayer that will be answered by God's presence. Be alert. Be awake. Our Lord promises that he will save and that he will be there. And he will be there in those Advent moments. That's a promise from God that he will come. I want to read something to you this morning. There's better read seated. That's why this stool is here. I want to read a letter to you. It won't take you long to figure out who this letter comes from. Thank you. It was that obvious, huh? This is what it says. As you well know, we are getting close to my birthday. Every year there is a celebration in my honor, and I think that this year the celebration will be repeated. During this time, there are many people shopping for gifts. There are many radio announcements, TV commercials, and in every part of the world, everyone is talking that my birthday is getting closer and closer. It's really very nice to know that at least once a year, some people still think about me. As you know, the celebration of my birthday began many years ago. At first, people seemed to understand and be thankful of all that I did for them. But now, in these times, no one seems to know the reason for the celebration. Family and friends gather together, they have a lot of fun, but they don't seem to know the meaning of the celebration. I remember last year there was a great feast in my honor. The dinner was full of delicious foods, pastries, fruits, assorted nuts, and chocolates. The decorations were exquisite, and there were many, many beautifully wrapped gifts. But you want to know something? I was not invited. I was the guest of honor, but they didn't remember to send me an invitation. The party was for me, but when that great day came, I was left outside. They closed the door in my face. I wanted to be with them and share their table. And truth, though, that really didn't surprise me much, because in the last few years, it seems all are closing their doors to me. Since I was not invited, I decided to enter the party without making any noise. I went and stood in the corner. They were all drinking, and there were some who were drunk and telling jokes and laughing at everything. They were having a great time. And to top it all off, this big fat man, all dressed in red, wearing a long white beard, entered the room yelling, "Ho, ho, ho." He seemed drunk also. He sat on the sofa, and all the children ran to him, shouting, "Santa Claus, Santa Claus," as if the party were in his honor. At 12 midnight, all the people began to hug each other. I extended my arms, waiting for someone to hug me, and do you know what? Not one person hugged me. Suddenly, they all began to share gifts. They opened them one by one with great expectation. And when all had been opened, I looked to see if maybe there was one for me. What would you feel if on your birthday everyone shared gifts and you were the only one who didn't get one? I then understood that I was unwanted at the party, and I quietly left. Every year it gets worse. People only remember to eat and drink, the gifts, the parties, but no one remembers me. I would like this Christmas that you allow me to enter your life. I would like you to recognize the fact that almost 2,000 years ago I came into this world to give my life for you on the cross and to save you. Today, I only want that you would believe that with all your heart. I want to share something with you. As many didn't invite me to their party, I will have my own celebration, a grandiose party that no one has ever imagined before, a spectacular party. I'm still making the final arrangements. Today, I'm sending out many invitations, and there is an invitation for you. I want you to know if you wish to attend, I will make a reservation for you, and I will write your name with golden letters in my guest book. Only those on the guest list will be let into the party. Those who don't answer the invitation will be left outside. Do you know how you can answer this invitation? It is by extending it to others whom you care for. I'll be waiting for all of you to attend my party this year. See you soon. I love you. Jesus. I think that letter is a great reminder to us this holiday season to focus on what is important. I don't know what your family traditions are. I don't know what your Christmas traditions are. But if they are not centered in Jesus, I ask you to reevaluate them. Make Jesus the center of the celebration. Make sure he's invited into your Christmas party. He needs to be invited in. That's how he comes, by invite. We have a few days to go to Christmas. Many of our coworkers, friends, and neighbors have no idea what this season is about. They have no idea this is about Jesus coming to earth and dwelling among us. And you think, no, everyone knows that. No, they don't. I talked to someone this week who had no idea. They were talking about Christmas. And I asked him, why do we celebrate Christmas? They said, I don't know. I said, what happened on Christmas? Historically, I have no idea. Did something happen? We've always had Christmas. I said, that's when Jesus was born. The person said, really? No clue. This is like a 40-year-old adult. Not a clue. So I am going to ask God in prayer for all of us to make sure not only he's invited, but we celebrate him this holiday season, and we make sure that our friends and family members who don't know what this Christmas is about, that we will look for opportunities to tell them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for Christmas, certainly. We thank you, God, that it seems like such a natural time that we can talk about you to our friends, neighbors, and coworkers. And I pray, God, in these last few days that you would give us an opportunity to talk to someone, one person, and tell them why we celebrate Christmas morning, what it is we celebrate, what it is we hope for as we look towards Easter. In doing so, God, maybe there's several of our family members or friends who will realize the real reason for Christmas this season when they haven't done that before. Thank you, God, with your patience for us. Thank you, God, that you patiently wait for our invitation. I pray, God, that all of us will invite you in this year. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.